Begin the current Damsech, this needed Dav Samachalf. Begin on the top line of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the Mishnahs of this Perek, regarding when a woman finds blood, and when there's more than one woman, then where do we attribute that Dam to? And actually, specifically, this Mishnah continues the theme of the previous Mishnah, which actually the Gemara is going to ask a seeming contradiction between the two cases. Says the Mishnah, Shalosh Nashim Shal Yusheinus B'mita Achas, three women who are sleeping in one bed. The nimtza dam tachas emtsayis, again, like we find blood. And if you find it beneath the middle one, there's three women side by side, and you find the blood from where the middle woman was sleeping. So kulin tameis, all the women are going to be tummy, because the one on the right and the one on the left are very near her. It could have came from either one, and of course the one that was under her. So they're all tummy. We have to suspect that the blood came from any one of them. Now tachas hapanimis, but if you find it beneath the inner one, so then, shtayim ha-panimiyes tameis. Then the two inner ones, meaning the one who is underneath and the one right next to her, they're both going to be tame. But v'chitzayin ha-tayra, the one on the outside, that's two over from her, that we don't suspect, and therefore she's going to be tame. Let's say tachas ha-chitzayin. Let's say you find the blood beneath the outer one. So shtayim ha-chitzayin is tameis. The two outer ones, meaning the outer one and the one right next to her, the middle one, they're both going to be tame. V'panimiyes tayra, and the inner one, who's two away, she's going to be tar. So again, the outer one is called the one that's more to the outside part of the bed. And the inner one is, of, let's say, the bed's against the wall, is the woman that's against the wall. And the Gemara is going to explain, as we alluded to just before, why is it different here in this Mishnah, that the Mishnah differentiates between if you find the blood beneath the inner one, or if you find it underneath the middle one, whereas what we call the Reisha, the previous Mishnah of the previous Dav, says if you find the blood beneath any one of them, they're all going to be tummy, and it doesn't differentiate if it's beneath the inner one or the outer one. Yet here we do. And the Gemara is going to discuss that. But says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Emesai. But when did we say this halacha, that if you find it beneath the outer one, that then only the two outer ones are going to be tamei, but the inner one's going to be tahar? Is bizman sha'avru derech margolis hamita, is that, how did they get into the bed? They went from the leg of the bed, and that the inner one never passed by the area where the blood was. Because each one went straight to her part of where she was sleeping from the leg of the bed. Then we say, oh, the inner one never, she's two away from her, so during sleeping she didn't get to it, and she never passed over that area either. Avlim avru derech aliyah, but if they all passed from the outside of the bed, and that's how they got in from the bed, not the length of the bed, but from the width of the bed, they're all passed over the area where the outside one was sleeping to get into the bed. So let's say the first one went in, then the middle one, then the last one went in. Oh, then kulin tameis. Then says the Mishnah, they're all going to be tummy, even the middle, the inner one, because maybe when she was passing over that space to get to her spot in the bed by the wall, she passed by over there. Maybe the blood then fell from her, and therefore could have been from her too, and therefore we have to suspect it from her, and they're all going to be tummy. Now continues the Mishnah, let's say bad ka achas mehen, but nimtzis tayr. Okay, so we don't know where this blood came from. We have to suspect it from all three. All of them have this halach of kesem, of finding a stain. But let's say one of them checks herself. She does an internal examination, and turns out that she's tar. She doesn't find any dam. Okay, so then we know he tar, she's tar, but then mishtein tameis, the two other ones who didn't do bedika, we still have to suspect them for the laws of a stain, and they're both going to be tummy. Let's say bat kushtayim and matzah taris. Let's say then another one. Now two of them check themselves and they find that they're tar. There's no dam. So hein taris v'shlishis tamei. So they're two going to be tar, and the third one will presume to be the stain, the blood stains from. But let's say shlosh on the matzah taris. Let's say all three check themselves and they all find that they don't have any dam. So then again, you're back to kulin tamei. They're all going to be tamei because now you can't be taila one on the other. They all checked and didn't find, and therefore they're all going to be tamei. Says the Mishnah Mahad Badaima. What can this be compared to? Legal tamei. To a pile that's tamei, because in that pile, in that rubble, there's an olive size of a dead person that's over there, which contaminates. Shenisarv bin shnei galim tarim, which now that pile got mixed up with two other piles that are tar that don't have a kazayis, an olive size of a dead person in there. Now ubad ku achas mehen umatzu tar, so they checked one of the piles, they went through it, and they find that there's no dead person over here. So who tar v'shnayim tamei? So that pile is going to be tar. Okay, then the other two are going to suspect to be tamei. Let's say shnayim matzah tarim. Let's say you check two of the piles and you find that both of them are clean. Same tarim, vishlishin tami. So those two are tar, and then we'll presume that the third one will have that suffix tama of the dead person. But let's say shlosh in the matzah tarim, and let's say you check all three piles and you don't find the dead piece in any one of them. Again, kulin tamei, then all going to be tami because we know it was here somewhere. You check, but obviously we don't know where it's from, so we have to suspect that the tama is in all of them. That's the Reb Meir. Because Reb Meir, he says, anything that we had a presumption that there was tumah, we know one of the piles had a kazayis of a dead person, so it's always going to have its status of tumah until you locate and you find where is the tumah. Until you do, you have to suspect that the tumah is going to be here, and that suspicion is in any one of these, and therefore they're all going to be tumah. Now, b'chomim, they disagree. They say, regarding the case that you just brought regarding the piles, they say, no, b'idik ad shemegiyah l'sela, you check the pile until you reach to a place that's rock, or to virgin soil, which, if you don't find it then, obviously you did a good inspection, and then the pile is going to be tar. They disagree with him. He says, look, I know you say you checked, but you didn't find, but it's here somewhere, we're going to still suspect that it's tummy. They say, no, if you do a thorough investigation, as the Gemara will explain, okay, maybe somehow it's not here anymore. Since you did a thorough inspection, then it's going to be tar. Now, the Gemara wonders, as we alluded to the question in reading the Mishnah, Mishnah Resha. Why is it different, what we call the Resha, which is, as the Mishnahs were, split up into different parts? The Mishnah from the previous Daav, which said that if three women are sleeping in the same bed, same case, and you find blood beneath one of them, the Mishnah just said they're all going to be tummy, and Dolay Maflik. The Mishnah didn't differentiate between if you find it beneath the middle one, or underneath the inner one, or the outer one. Mishnah Sefer, the Kamaflik. Why in our Mishnah does the Mishnah differentiate depending where you find it, if how many are going to, and which ones are going to be tummy? Samar Bami says because the Resha, meaning the previous Mishnah, was Toma Bemushulavis, where the women were very tightly packed and sleeping very close to each other. So therefore, yeah, it doesn't differentiate because even if you find Dam beneath the inner one, you could still be in doubt that it came from the outer one because they're so tight and they're sleeping right next to each other. Even one woman that's two over, it could have been from her, and therefore the old Timaeus. Here we're talking about that they're sleeping comfortably, three women side by side, then if it was from the outer one, it wouldn't have been beneath the inner one, and therefore it differentiates in our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah continued, it said, so we have to suspect that they're all tamei, but bad ka'achas v'chulu, but let's say, if one of them checked, and she doesn't find anything, she's tar, the other two tamei, and then so on and so forth. We say, if they all check, and none of them find, they're all going to be tamei. And the Remeya said, l'mad avodayim, you could compare it to a similar type of concept by three different piles that are tamei. You check one, it's going to be tar, the other two tamei, and so on, but if you check all of them, you don't find, they're all going to be tamei. Says Gemara, Lamali Lamisni, what was the necessity of Remeir to say, Lamaza Daima, what's this comparable? What do you gain by bringing this comparison to that other case? Says Gemara, Hachikamalu Remeir Rabbanan. The purpose of why Remeir was bringing in that final case was because Remeir was using this as a springboard in his dispute with the Rabbanan. And he wanted to tell them, Maishna Badam, Duloy Palgisu, why is it any different in the halacha of our Mishnah? Regarding the laws of when you find dam beneath these sleeping women, that there you don't disagree with me. You agreed to me to the primary halacha of our Mishnah, which the Mishnah opens up with, when you find blood beneath the three women who've checked themselves, they find themselves to be tahar. We say, no, the blood came from somewhere. I know you all three women don't find it. You're all going to be tameh. There you, Chacham, agree to me in that idea. So, Maishna Begal de Palgisu, so then why, by the case of the three piles, do you disagree with me? And you hold that if you check all three piles and you don't find it, they're going to be tar. Even though we had a presumption, we know that there was tumah hit by one of the piles, so why is that any different than the case of the three women that you agree to me? But says Gemara Rabbanan, no, they hold that they're different. Because Bishlam Hassam, we understand over there, in the case of the three piles, Ema Ayriv Natla, as we alluded to when we said the Mishnah, yeah. If you're checking all three piles, we know there was a dead person over here, and we're not finding any one of them. The reason why they say they're going to be tar, because you ultimately checked, you didn't find, because maybe a raven came and took that piece of kazais of a mess. So there's a way out that we could say, yeah, but you check and you don't find, so they're going to be tar. Elohacha, but here in the case of the Mishnah of the three women, Haidam Mehecha Asa, where did the blood come from? It obviously came from somewhere, and since we can't pinpoint any one of the women, because they're all turning out to be tar, therefore we're going to say they're all tame. But that's different than the case of the gal, where you could say that it's somewhere else. Tanya Lutna Brysa continued on this machlekes. Omer Meir. Meir said to the Chacham, he said, look, Maisa b'shikam shal Kfar Saba. There was an incident with the sycamore tree in Kfar Saba, which is the name of a place. That there was a presumption, people knew that with this tree, there's tum over there. Now, but they checked, they didn't find anything that's tummy over there. Now, l'yamim, days later, nashma by haruach v'karasai, a wind, strong wind came and blew and uprooted the sycamore tree. V'nimtza galgay l'shol meis t'chub alei bekar, and they found the skull of a dead person that was rooted there underneath the root of the tree. So says Remeir, you see this idea that it's not enough just to check. Checking doesn't help. You're saying, oh, they checked the piles. Okay, they're going to be tar. Says Remeir, no. If you don't, there's a presumption of tumah. Until you locate it, you got to presume that someone like over here, they thought, whoa, they checked it. And turns out that there was a skull beneath the tree. To which Amaloi, the sages said to Remeir, well, Sham Raya, from there is a proof. Amaloi Batka called Tzarka. I could say that they didn't check enough. And therefore, yeah, that's why they made a mistake. But if they check thoroughly, then no, if it's not there, then it's going to be tar, like we said, because, yeah, it could be a raven or something took it somewhere else. Similarly, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Amr Abiyasi, says, in support of Remeir, it says, there was an incident with the cave in the place Shechin, that there was a presumption, we knew that there was Tum over there in that cave. But they checked until they reached land, which is as smooth as a fingernail, meaning it was never planted over there, so it couldn't have been that there was any dead people over there. It was totally, like, fresh. Now, but still, they didn't find the Tumah. Now, but days later, at a later point in time, some workers had to come into that cave because it was raining and they needed to go in a place of shelter. Now, workers are there and they're not doing anything. So, and they started hacking away with their hatchets in that place. They found a cage full of bones. So, you see, it's not enough to check, says Remeir, and we have to presume that there's Tumah until you actually locate it. So they said to Misham Rayam, there's a proof. We could say they didn't check well enough. As we see, they didn't check well enough. But if you check totally thoroughly, then no, then we're going to say that's going to be tar. As the Gemara actually illustrates, Tanya and Abraisa, a situation where there was a thorough checking, and then you could locate it, and therefore that it is up to a thorough checking. Abishalayim, he says, Maisa b'selabes charin. There was an incident with the hard, rocky land of Beis Chayrin. There was a presumption. We knew that there was Tum over there, but the sages couldn't check, which they hold it's enough to check. It was a large area, and they couldn't just start checking the whole place. But there was one elderly person, Rabbi Shua ben Chanan Yishmai, and his name was Rabbi Shua ben Chanan. He said to them, "I'll tell you what to do. Hivili sadinim, bring me sheets." So they brought him sheets. Vishar the mime, he soaked in the water. Uparsna lame, and then he spread these sheets out along that whole area of land. Mokim tahari yavish, a place where it was pure, where there was no dead people buried, that land remained dry. Mokim tumalach, the place where there was tuma, there, that place, the land became moist. And the reason for that was, is because that land absorbed the moisture of the sheets, because since the earth was soft, because it was dug up already, and that's where the people were buried, so since it was soft, it absorbed the moisture, whereas land that was never touched is hard, and it doesn't absorb it. And the place where it was moist, so they were able to figure that out, and they dug up and they found a huge pit full of bones, and therefore they were able to go ahead and locate it. Now, Tanya went to Braisa, who habar, what was that pit? That was the pit Shemili Yishmol ben Netanya Chalom, that Yishmol ben Netanya filled up with corpses, which was right after the time of the Chorban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. Because the Chsilik, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, V'habar asher hishlech shem Yishmol, and the pit which Yishmol threw as kol bigri anashim, all the dead corpses of the people, asher hikah b'yad Gedalia, which were killed by Gedalia. Now, it sounds like from this Pasuk that Gedalia ben Achikim killed them. And that says the Gemara of Gedalia Hargan, who is the leader of the Jewish people, who we have Tzem Gedalia for, when he was killed, did he kill those people? Well, Yishmol Hargan, as we know from the narrative, Yishmol killed them. So Ella rather says the Gemara, since Gedalia should have been concerned for the advice of Yechonon ben Kerach, who he told to Gedalia, he says, I heard that the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah Perek Mem that Yishmol ben Netanya is coming to kill you. Well, he wasn't concerned. And because of that, he invited Yishmol in, who went and then killed him, and then killed all those people. So it's considered because he wasn't careful enough to take that advice, as if he killed those people. And therefore it says, those that killed, but that was that pit that they subsequently found generations later. Now, based on this narrative, Amar Ravi says, Hai Lishna Bisha, this bad words, meaning referring to Lashon Hara, even though we know one's not supposed to accept and believe full-heartedly that Lashon Hara, but you have to be concerned for it. And here Gedalia ben Achikim should have at least listened and taken precautions, which is Chabdeyu v'chashdeyu, meaning yes, you have to go ahead and you don't have to accept it, but you have to be concerned and take the precautions, and then he wouldn't have gotten murdered, and that would have prevented the whole downfall of the Jewish people at that time. As the Gemara brings a narrative, a story related to this idea, the same idea of regarding Lashon Hara, Hanu b'nei Galila, there were these certain men from the Galil, the Nafik alayu kala the katal nafsha, word was going out that they murdered people. Now, Asul came into Reb Tarfon, these people came in front of Reb Tarfon. Now, Amalei, they said to him, Letamrin mar, let the master hide us, because the authorities are coming after us. So Amalei, he said to them, look, Heichen Navi, what should I do? Iloya atmadurin nichu, if I don't hide you, Chazu yisechu, the authorities are going to see you, and you're going to get punished. But I should hide you? Ha'amr Rabban, but the rabbis say, as we mentioned before, Hai Lishna Bisha, these bad rumors, Avagav de la Kabula Meboy, although I'm not supposed to accept it and believe it, but Mechish le Meboy, but you have to be concerned for it, and maybe you did murder people and it's forbidden to go ahead and save you. So Zilu Atu Tamin Avshecha, you go and hide yourself because I have to be concerned that I would be concealing a convict. A related theme regarding Lishna Bisha. The Gemara brings a pasuk about Midbar that says, "V'yemer Hashem al Moshe al tira." Hashem said to Moshe, "Do not be afraid that I'm telling you to go out and fight against Og Melech Habashim." So says the Gemara, "Mechti." Let's see. Sichin ve'Og achi hava. Sichin and Og, these two giants, were brothers. The Amar, like the Master says, Sichin ve'Og bnei Achia, they were both the sons of Achia, who were bar Shem Chazai hava. They were descendants of Shem Chazai, where they came from Shem Chazai and Azal, where the two angels that fell from heaven in the generation of Enosh. So Og and Sichin were two brothers. So why is it, as we see from the pasuk that we just quoted, that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of fighting against Oig, and why was he not afraid, as we know that he conquered Sichin, and doesn't say anywhere that he was afraid, from fighting his brother Sichin? What was different about Oig? Says, from the response that we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to respond to Moshe Rabbeinu, not to be afraid of Oig, at the idea Mahaya Baliba, you know what was in Moshe Rabbeinu's heart. Because Amr, Moshe Rabbeinu said, maybe the merit of Avraham Avinu will stand in good for Og Melech Habashim. Kashnem, like the pasuk says in Bereishis, says, "Vayave Hapalid," the one who fled came, "Vayagil Avraham Ivri," and he said to Avram, the Ivri, that's about Lot that he was taking as captive, which was this Lishna Bisha, which was he was telling him these bad rumors about what happened. Now, but for Amr Yechanan, he says, who is this Palad? Ze'oig. This refers to Oig, Shepalim and Derhamabel, who he fled from the generation of the flood, where he fled to Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara says, Nachelik and Sanhedrin, which therefore he survived. And therefore he was afraid because Oig ultimately helped out Avraham Avinu, that merit would stand him in good stead, and therefore he was afraid of that. And that relates back to this idea, the Lishna Bisha, as Tais explained, that he was telling to Avraham Avinu, which was somewhat of a Lishna Bisha, which was actually with bad intent. He wanted Avraham Avinu to get killed, and he would go ahead and marry Sarah. But again, that relates back to that narrative about this Lishna Bisha. Now, relating to the theme of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings talking about Luna Brisa. Beged she'aved by kesem, a garment that a bloodstain was lost in it. Meaning, we know there was a bloodstain, but it got, let's say, it fell into water, and therefore we can't tell anymore where the stain was. Or let's say it got soiled with the blood of an animal, and now you don't know where is the menstrual blood. Now, the Mishnah tells us in Amud Beis that the menstrual blood cannot be purified unless you first put it through seven types of detergents. So says the Braisa, now that you don't know where the stain on the garment is, so Mavrolav Shiva Samamanam. So what you have to do is you have to put on these seven detergents on the entire garment, and Mavatli, and you nullify the blood. Now, why are we bringing this Braisa over here is because we were mentioning before regarding in the Halacha of the Mishnah, when you have these piles, which Tumah was lost in the piles, and you don't know exactly where it is, well, that's exactly the same concept that we're going to say in all these different braces that the Gemara is bringing now, where you have something that's problematic, like the stain, and you don't know where it is and got lost, and what do you do about it? So in the Halacha of the Mishnah, they're all going to be Tumah, and you check, so then there will be Tar, and then you check all of them, then they'll all be Tumah. So here we're talking about regarding a stain, so what you do is you have to put then the seven detergents on the whole garment, and you nullify it, and then you can purify that garment. But Reb Shimon loves him. He actually says in Ketin Tamid Beis that Baitka Shchunis Shchunis. What you do is, no, you inspect the garment group by group, every three finger breadths by itself, which actually, as Tosafot points out, this is exactly like the discussion regarding the Halacha of our Mishnah of the piles that Tumah was lost in it, because obviously it sounds like his opinion is if you check part by part and you don't find it, it's going to be tar. Which is exactly the same idea, because maybe by itself it disappeared, or it was cleansed by through something else, and he just wasn't aware of that, which is exactly like the halacha that we say, which Tais once said that would even be like Reb Meir, because it's even more common than the halacha of that a raven coming and take it away, but that would be exactly the same discussion regarding, you know, he says that you don't even have to, you could presume that it's tar. Now, of the b'shitfa zera, that was if, let's say, a bloodstain got lost on the garment. Let's say there was semen, which is metame, it also has to be cleansed first. That, let's say, semen is somewhere here on this garment and it's lost. So if it's chadish, if it's new, so b'yit k'b'machet. So then you check with a needle, because the place of where the semen is hard, and that will prevent the needle from entering into that part of the garment. Now, the reason is, by new, you cannot check in the sunlight because it's very thick and tight. So looking in the sunlight is not going to help us. But what you do is you can tell if the semen is there by moving around a needle, and it'll get stuck if the semen is over there. No, but if it's shachig, if it's worn out, the garment, then badka b'chama. Then you can actually check it in the sunlight because you stretch it out opposite his eyes, and the place where the semen is going to clog up the place, and you're not going to be able to see the sun through the garment so much in that area, then you'll know where the semen is to go ahead and clean off that semen to purify the garment. Now, talking about the Braisa, just clarifying the opinion we mentioned, the Braisa, when we said you check it, each part of the garment by itself, part by part, so ein shchuna p'chusa mishal shetz boys. What does it mean that you check them neighborhood by neighborhood? It means to say, not less than an area of 3 finger breadths at a time. Similar type of a discussion regarding something getting lost. Tanam will learn that Bryce. Begish oved by klaim, a garment that klaim, a forbidden mixture of wool and linen, got lost in the garment. Now, the reason why I'm saying that it got lost is because if you would recognize the woolen thread in the linen garment, you just pull it out, and then the garment is okay. But it got lost. You don't know where there's a forbidden mixture over here in this garment. So it says the Bryce, you cannot sell this garment. A Jew can't use it because it's klaim, it's shatnas. But neither can you sell it to a non-Jew, because the non-Jew is going to come and he's going to sell it to a Jew and not going to be aware he's going to be violating shatnas. And also, you cannot make it as a saddle cloth for riding on a donkey, because that's still considered wearing shatnas. But what you could do with it is you could make burial shrouds for a dead person, because a person that's dead is not obligated in the halachas of the Torah, so he could wear shatnas. Now, but Amar Avisi says, this tells us that mitzvahs betelus las lavi, that in the future, when there's going to be tchisa mesim, when people are going to come back to life and they're going to be wearing the garments that they were buried with, then there's not going to be any more mitzvahs. Because if there were, when the person gets up, he's wearing klaim, he's wearing shatnas, so you can't bury him with it. Obviously, if you could, it's because there's not going to be mitzvahs in the future. On that, Amalei Abaya, Vitam and Sansei was Rabdimi, but Va'amre, Mani Amre B'yana, he says, no, Leishanel L'Safta. This time he said that you could use these beged with shatnas for the tachrichim and the burial shrouds. That was only for the dead person during the eulogy, for the Levaya. But to bury with him is actually forbidden. So how are you proving that mitzvahs are going to be betelus? No, they're not going to be. And that's why you cannot bury him with that. And that Amalei said to him, no, lavit ma'alah, didn't we learn on this that Amar B'yichan, and B'yichan had said, no, no, you could even bury him with it. Obviously, from B'yichan, you see that there's not going to be mitzvahs in the future. Now, says the Gemara, B'yichan goes according to his reasoning elsewhere. Because the Amar B'yichan, he says, my dear, what does it mean the pasuk in Tehillim, b'meisim chavshi, in the dead is free? It means, kivin shemeis adam, once a person dies, nasa chavshi, min ha-mitzvahs, he becomes free from mitzvahs, he's not going to have mitzvahs anymore, and therefore you could bury him with shatnas. Now, continuing on this theme, Amar Rav bar Papa Amar Rav Chizkiya, he says, Beged she'aved b'klaim, the same halacha, regarding a garment that is klaim lost somewhere in the garment over there, what you could do is tzeiva umutur. You could dye the garment, you could color it, give it a color, and then it's going to be permitted. Why? Because through the dye, it's going to be recognizable if this garment is problematic or not, as the Gemara is going to explain. Amar Rav l'Rav bar Papa, he says, Menolei l'sabaha, from where does the elder know this, that you can rely on this by dyeing it, and that will go ahead and permit one to wear this garment, that the client was lost somewhere here in the garment. So Malay says, because Masnitin, he's Salach of our Mishnah. That not we learned in the Mishnah that said, regarding the piles, the 3 piles, where there was a kezais of a mess that got lost in one of the piles, and you don't know which one it is. So the Chacham said, Baidigat Shemagi L'Sela. So you check in the piles until you reach bedrock, and once you get to that point, and you don't find it in one of the piles, so then it's going to be tar. Why? Because if Eleka, if you don't find it, Ema Irv not, like we said, then you say, okay, a raven took it, and therefore all 3 piles are going to be tar. Oh, so it says, Achanami, here also in the halacha that we're talking about. Amr v'kisna, regarding wool and linen, b'hadadi le'salak l'utziva. They don't accept the dye equally. The dye does not affect wool and linen the same, because linen is harder to accept dye more than wool. Now, v'kivin de le'yadiyah, but if you're dyeing this garment and you don't recognize any spot that looks different than the other spot, so aim a minter nutzer. Then we're going to say that it must have fell out. That thread of that was the forbidden thread in there must have fell out, because or else you would recognize it. And therefore, that's the same thing as saying, okay, must have been the raven took it. Because if we don't see anything over here, then we could assume that something happened to it. And therefore, here also, you don't see any different, it's going to permit the garment. Now, Amar Vacha Bered Rav Yevi Mishmeid Mar Zutra says, Haiman de Rami Chuta de Kisna, a person that puts in a linen thread, Beklima de Amr, in a woolen cloth, but then, Benatke, he pulls out that thread. Obviously, it's a problem of shatnas. But he pulled it up, but he doesn't know. Did he pull out the thread or not? He can't tell now. He's looking, can't tell which is the woolen thread and which one is the linen thread. He knows he pulled it up, but he's not sure did he actually end up pulling it out or not. So that he says, Shaper Dami, it's okay. You could use the garment. My time, what's the reason? It says, because Midday writes that biblically, as the Pasuk says in Devarim, Shatnes Ksiv, when it describes this forbidden mixture of a climb garment, it calls it Shatnes. Now, the word Shatnes could be comprised of three different words. Biblically, the halacha is actually shui tavi venuz. That's shatnez. What's shui? Shua is referring to, it's like a terminology of being smooth, which is the Aramaic translation of chalak is shi'iya, smooth. Means to say that you have to smooth them all together and comb them together. Additionally, tavi is that they have to be spun together, which is what makes into thread when it's spun. And venuz, and to be woven together. Now, for Rabbanu de Gazirbe, but it's the Rabbanan who they made a rabbinic decree if something is woven together, even if it wasn't combed together and woven and spun together. So that's rabbinically, which is the case that we're describing over here, which is when you add in the thread, they weren't combed or spun together, they were just woven together. Now, Vakim de Liyadi Inatke, now since this is only rabbinic law, and now you have a suffix, you don't know, did you pull out or not? Oh, that's the suffix Rabbanan, we're going to go to Kul, and therefore Shari, it's going to be permitted. Now, but Maskel Rav Ashi, Ashi asked, how do you know that it has to have all three to be biblically shatnez? Emer, I would tell you, oy shoe, oy tavi, oy nuz. Maybe the biblical law is either one of these three. And since here you do have noise together, you have them woven together, maybe it should be biblically forbidden. And Sabek Dereis is l'chomer. However, says the Gemara, no v'hilchas ha'kamaz v'chom. Why? Since the Torah says these three concepts in one word of shatnez, obviously we have to have all three together, and since you don't, you only have one, it's only rabbinic, and you have a suffix rabbanan, and then we go leniently, and it's going to be permitted. Now going back to the topic we had mentioned before, regarding losing a garment with a stain, and additionally regarding this idea we just mentioned regarding dyeing, like dyeing a garment, so Tarmon Linda Brysa, beged tzavua, a dyed garment, a colored garment, an undergarment, a garment, if there's a blood stain on it, and you see that, so even if it's a colored garment, it's going to be tame. Reb Nosson bar Yosef says, no, ain't a mitame mishum kasem. No, a colored garment is not going to have the tumo of the laws, the rabbinic law of a blood stain of nida. Why? Because they did not institute that there should be colored garments for women, only as a leniency regarding their blood stains, because the blood stain is not so recognizable on the colored garment as the full-fledged blood. On the white garment, you see it. Colored, you don't. Therefore, it doesn't have that vision, and therefore, it does not have the halacha of a blood stain. Says the Gemara, Tiktu, they instituted? What is Reb Nosson bar Yosef saying? Manteknini, whoever instituted that women should be wearing colored garments. And the rather says the Gemara, you know, you're right. His words were, Shalehutru bigdit tzavayin leisha. We didn't permit women to wear colored garments. El halacha l'alkasmein. The only reason why we permitted was because we wanted it to be as a leniency that they won't become tummy when they have blood stains on the colored garments. Says Gemara, Hutru, what we permitted them? What Mechal da Asiri, what the inference is that if we didn't permit it, it would be forbidden for women to wear colored garments? Says Gemara, in yes. It's not like we learned, there's actually a brisa that says, Bepulmis shall Aspasiones. By the siege, the war that Aspasiones waged against Yerushalayim, which was before Titus came and destroyed the base of Mikdash, so at that time, the way Jews fight is that they take upon themselves stringencies in law. So Gazru ala Taras Chasanim, so they decreed regarding the crowns of grooms that they should not wear these crowns. Vale Eris, and also as the Gemara Saita explains, this is a type of a bell that has one clapper, which is some type of a musical instrument, that they shouldn't use this as a sign of solidarity in the sense of religious type of a purpose in regards to taking on that siege. Now, Big Shu Ligzra Big Ditzavain. So the rabbis wanted to then go ahead and decree also another type of diminishing this type of a joy, that the women should not have colored garments. So I mean, they said no hadith, it's better that the women keep the colored garments. So that there should be a leniency for their bloodstains, because as we said, the whole invention of kesamim was a stringency on biblical law, but once we have the laws of kesamim, we try to be as lenient as possible because it's rabbinic law, and therefore we want them to have the colored garments so that they don't become tummy from the bloodstains. So that's exactly what he was saying, that he's disputing the Tanakama. Tanakama says, yeah, bloodstain on the colored garments also going to be tummy. He says, Reb Nosson bar Yosef, no, it's not going to be, because that's the whole reason why they even allowed them in the first place to have the colored garments, so that they don't become tummy when they have the bloodstains on the colored garments, which then does not have the appearance of the blood, of the menstrual blood, which would be betame a woman.